You've heard the saying, 30 is the new 20. Well, when it comes to health, 30 is the new 45. According to a study published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, today's adults are so unhealthy, they're physically 15 years older than their chronological age. The study looked at 6,000 adults aged 20, 30, 40, and 50 over a 25-year period. They found that younger generations have poor metabolic health, which includes a range of issues, including blood pressure and weight. Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
You see, if I had said what he just said, you'd say, Andy, you are so full of BS. I just can't believe it. But there you heard it. 30 is the new 45. Have you ever heard this phrase before? We are sicker, fatter, and more depressed than we've ever been. That is a very disturbing report this morning. Joining me this morning, as she does every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, Pam Colleen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
I can't believe it. I mean, that's what we've been saying, and so many of our guests have been saying. Instead of making progress, as we are with all our electronic devices, in the health field, we're going backwards.
We're going backwards. We're not getting what we need in order to sustain our health. A lot of people are falling asleep when they hear this mantra that we're living longer today. And that makes everybody sedated or passive with regards to their health. They just think that they can, you know, take this for granted, that allegedly we're living longer today. But what they forget is when you do the number crunching and you remove the variables that used to kill us 100 years ago that don't kill us today, we're really not living that much longer. And then you have to factor in that we're spending billions of dollars every single year on our health care. And look what we're getting for it. We're not that much healthier at all.
I mean, they didn't say 30 is the new 35.
Right.
30 is the new 45.
But people have been hearing 30 is the new 20, 40 is the new 30. They're hearing the truth, actually. So they're seeing that the lethargy, the fatigue, the depression, the obesity, all of these things that are hitting our younger generation are indeed an epidemic.
You met a very interesting person on the weekend, Pam, and he is our guest this morning. Would you be so kind as to do the introduction?
Well, Amir Rosick is a registered holistic nutritionist. He's also the Canadian kettlebell biathlon champion from 2012. And he's a young man. He's in his 20s. I think he's 28 years old. He is an advocate of the work of Dr. Weston A. Price. So, Andy, believe it or not, this guy eats raw dairy products and red meat, and I can't believe how healthy this guy is.
Yeah, I'm working up the nerve to ask him because he's a very buff guy. What is a kettlebell?
Well, it's a big, heavy, round object, and it's a new sport. And really, for the last few years on the internet, I've been hearing and seeing lots of news about kettlebell, the sport itself. Apparently, it has its roots in Russia, but it's very interesting and is getting very, very popular.
Amir, appreciate you joining us this morning. Welcome to London, Ontario.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Pam. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Forgive me. I was raised on the basketball court. What is a kettlebell?
That's a million-dollar question. I always get that same question. Well, pretty much it's a cannonball with a handle on it. And the actual history about it is it originates as from the shipping industry. So when the ships are docking in the piers, they take the ropes and tie it to it. But the seamen on their break time would take these big cement things and juggle them around, and people give them tips. It kind of evolved from there and went to the circus. And somehow from the circus, I guess strongmen seen the beneficial aspects of it, and they took it and they shrank it down and made a unified form. And somehow, I really don't know, but from there, it actually evolved into a sport, which is right now the Russian national sport, which is it's called Yervoy sport, or known in English, kettlebell sport.
Why the kettle shape? I mean, you see guys bench pressing in the gym and with the bar with the big weights on each end. That's scary enough. But the kettle thing is twice as difficult.
Yeah, it takes a whole new aspect in fitness because it's a mobility move at once. So you're having a set heavy weight that you're swinging around your body, and you have to actually take mind, body, and soul into one. It's very, very difficult, but at the same time, it's very beneficial because you're utilizing so many energy systems in your body, utilizing new types of energy metabolism in your body. It's highly functional. And actually, I've heard recently in the United States Army, in the Navy SEALs, they actually make a mandatory test called the kettlebell snatch. So if they don't pass this test with the kettlebell, they can't really graduate the fitness aspect of the training.
Well, we don't want to push kettlebell, even though you are the you won in 2012 last year, the Canadian Kettlebell Biathlon Championship. We're here this morning with you to talk about nutrition. What
right.
does nutrition have to do with lifting these heavy objects?
Everything. Absolutely everything. People have to understand that the foods that we eat, we're made out of them. And the foods that my grandfather ate, I'm made out of those foods. Nutrition is a pivotal role, from the vitamins, the amino acids, the trace minerals that you get in your foods. It makes you who you are. If you don't have a healthy diet, an ancestral diet, I like to call it, you're not giving your body the necessary tools and needs to perform efficiently.
But Amir, in the world of the fitness industry, you're the exception because somebody of your stature athletically would be eating a high-protein, low-fat diet, and you're doing the absolute opposite. You're eating a high-fat diet to get the great results that you're getting, and your mood is incredible. I know when I spoke to you at the Total Health Show last weekend, I've been on your talk show on the internet as well. I mean, your brain is there. You're energetic, you're positive, you have a great attitude, but you're eating a diet that goes against the establishment.
Well, it goes against the modern day establishment, yes. And the problem right now with people are they're just getting brainwashed with marketing on what types of food is good for them. In reality, it's not. To tell you the truth, the reason I gravitated to a high fat diet and moderate protein and seasonal eating, it is, yes, through my educational research. But at the same time, when I started eating these foods, it wasn't like it was pretty much an overnight switch in my brain. Instantaneously, you feel better, your energy levels increase, cognitive skills increase, strength increases, everything that you want in your life to be an optimal version of yourself increases.
I wonder if I could ask this very rude question, Amir. Lance Armstrong had a lot of people asking him over the years, how do you do that? I mean, it's just like magic. How do you do that? Have you ever had any Lance Armstrong suspicions about your success when it comes to athletic competitions?
Yeah, funny you say that, because, you know, you'll meet people, for example, I'll give you an analogy. If we go to the beach, obviously everyone has their shirt off and they ask you certain questions. Oh, wow, you have a six-pack, or your body looks very defined, right? And obviously they jump to the conclusion, well, maybe this individual might be doing something that's not correct. And I tell them, straight up, I tell them that's rubbish. I'm like, when you give your body the proper nutrients, the proper amino acids, the fats, the omega-3s, the omega-6s, the saturated fats, monounsaturated fats, your body will naturally grow like this. And I give example, well, you look at the Africans in the bush. Look at them. You look at certain cultures around the world. They don't have a gym. They're not exercising. They're living their life, and they have a body of a god or goddess.
Now, Amir, your ancestral lineage comes from Eastern Europe. Do you recall or can you cite a lot of examples with regards to the diet from the region of the world where your ancestors come from?
Yeah, the diet is a mountainous diet, and you know we focus on a lot of red meats from the delicatessen right there is sheep, rotisserie, a full sheep, and I mean, when we eat the sheep, we eat it head to toe. That includes the brain, that goes down to intestines that we use for smoking the meat, the bones for bone broth. Every single part of the animal is used. In conjunction, we have kefir, raw goat cheese, raw milk, the most nutritiously fat-dense foods you can possibly think about. And when in season, we have our beautiful fruits, the potatoes. So we eat a very wholesome, hearty, diet.
Amir, I can't believe what you're saying. Pam, I was driving yesterday. I was listening to an interview on talk radio with someone suggesting, a guest suggesting out of a study out of the U.S., that the more you eat beef, the sooner you're going to die. I mean, Amir, you hear that talk, and that certainly that's one of the issues that we're dealing with in society today, that red meat's going to kill you.
Yeah, there's a new study just published about that, showing arteriosclerosis. But at the end of the day, people don't understand the meat that we're eating today. I'll give you examples. The red meat. It's not the red meat that my grandfather ate. Cow is not meant to be raised on grain, soy, and corn. Just think from common sense. Cow does not eat that. What a cow needs to do is be pasture-fed like a natural animal. It walks around. It gets exercise. It gets vitamin D. It eats the grass. And this grass is converted in the cow's stomach to healthy fats that we need to consume. So if we're eating sick animals at the end of the day, we become sick. It's that simple.
Now, Amir, you have a lot of clients that you work with, and I think you work all around the world. Do you consult with your clients and help them network so they can find farmers where they're pasture feeding the animals?
Definitely. So I always get this question comes daily. I get like 20, 30 emails a day. Amir, where can I find proper farmers who can supply me with healthy food? And I obviously give them proper education. Like, here's the list of farmers I know, and I work with farmers all across Canada, even farmers in the United States. So that's the number one thing I tell everybody. Always source a farmer. Build a relationship with your farmer. Know where your food comes from. Know your animals. Know your source. That way you guarantee yourself and your family the best quality food possible.
We have to take a short break, Amir, back to talk more about You Are What You Eat when we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. We remind you that the lines are open and you can join this discussion at any time you want. That is a very disturbing report out this morning suggesting that 30 is the new 45, that we're going backwards in terms of our health, not making progress. And Amir, I want to ask you, our special guest this morning, Amir Rosic, who is the 2012 Canadian Kettlebell Biathlon Championship. Basically, that means his T-shirt fits very tightly around his biceps. Amir, Pam and I were just chatting during the break, how great it is to have someone as young. How old are you? It's so good to have young people catching on to this message. Amir, how old are you?
I'm 27, turning 28 this year.
Man, my goodness, I watched your video this morning. I'm thinking when you walk into a bar, you still have to show your age and majority card. And yet you've gotten the message that you are what you eat, and we're getting a lot of lies from the popular media these days.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, and that's the problem. And I think more or less also there's a huge problem with common sense and using your mind. And that's what kind of led me also to eat an ancestral Weston A. Price type of diet, because, you know, intuitively I knew even when I was in high school as a child, for some reason, like, it just didn't make sense. Yeah, I ate the most horrendous foods you can possibly think about outside when my mom wasn't cooking me, you know, home-cooked meals. But at the same time, I just knew something back in my mind that, wait a second, you know, we never ate this as a human species, ever. And the more you look into it, the more you dig research and you see just from observational point of view, like every single culture in the world, it can be cultures from the Okinawans in the east or the Inuits here or African tribes or, you know, the Scandinavian culture, they all have one thing in common, as Weston A. Price discovered. They all ate a whole food diet that comes from the land, that's unprocessed, and all of them were really robust, healthy, and they lived long lives.
Now, Amir, you're young. How do you relate to people in their teens and the 20s today so that when they're 30 that they're not acting and looking like they're 45?
How do I relate? How do I get them?
Because you're young. You got to talk to the young population. We need young people out there like yourself.
I always say the best thing is live by example. So I get a lot of people sending me emails every single day, and they thank me for what I'm doing, and it's nothing special. I just tell people, you know, it's one thing to preach something, but you have to live it. So when you live by example, we have a thing in the human species called mirror neurons, and the more we're around people, that's why they say if you're around positive people, you exude positivity, and if you're around negative people, you exude negativity.
Okay, Amir, I want to jump in because right now I know that what people are thinking. They go, don't tell me he's drinking raw milk. I mean, just don't tell me that.
Yeah. When I can source it, like say in the summertime when it's much easier to get, when the cows are out there on the pasture raised, the green grass, I drink raw milk. And I'll tell you what, Andy, I feel alive when I drink it. I feel like it's like nectar of the gods, and it's fantastic. And when you just think about, just historically speaking, we as a human species were drinking raw milk for thousands of years. It's just recently from the Industrial Revolution that we decided, wait a second, we need to pasteurize it, put antibiotics in it, and put preservatives in it.
But you're coming from a background as well, Amir, where your ancestors probably did live a very long time, and they ate red meat and consumed raw dairy products. Do you know the age of some of your ancestors, your great-grandparents or grandparents?
Well, even my grandmother, she was, I remember, 91, and my grandparents around that age. So everyone in my family, both sides, mom and dad, they're all in their 90s.
Amir, we're almost out of time. I have to ask you this. Your message is catching on. In fact, you're looking at some exciting possibilities very soon about getting your message out.
Yeah, definitely. I want to step it up. I want to spread the word out there and tell everybody out there that the diet that we're eating today, the SAD diet, is destroying our health. And we need to revert back to an ancestral whole foods-based type of diet. And I'm going to do everything in my power to spread the message across the whole world and help everybody and just come back to common sense. The more that we can focus on eating whole foods, the better we can make society today.
What about your TV show? You have a TV show called Shape Up with Amir, Kettlebell Conditioning. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a quick segment I have. It airs a couple of times throughout the day. It's a 20-minute show when I teach you how to do kettlebell training. It's on Rogers TV, and it's aired, like I said, in the morning times and the afternoon on Channel 10, I believe, over here. And
you're in Etobicoke.
Etobicoke, yeah. It's the second season, so it's getting pretty popular and hopefully picks up some steam.
And you also have an online, you have a YouTube channel where you produce your own interviews. In fact, I've been on your show a couple of times, and it's called The Optimal Health Show.
Yeah, that's right. So what I do is I interview top experts in the field, such as you, Pam, and we spread the message out there. So we'll interview experts for gluten, interview experts for, you know, copper toxicity, interview all the top experts in the whole world, and there's one big room, like a panel, a Google Hangout, and we are just spreading the word, spreading the messages out there, and educating people. Because at the end of the day, we're educators. We want to educate everybody that they don't have to go through pain and suffering in their life. They don't have to be sick. They can become perfectly and optimally healthy through nutrition and proper lifestyle changes.
Amir, just before you go, we have 30 seconds left. Give us your whole sermon the best way you can in 30 seconds.
Okay, guys. Eat an ancestral diet, a Weston A. Price diet. Go to bed at 10 o'clock. Get some exercise every day, walk around a little bit, get some vitamin D, and just be happy in life. And I don't care who you are, you're going to feel like $1 million.
You're amazing, Amir. And your website is under construction right now, but it's just your name, AmirRosick.com. Yes,
right.
Wonderful. And you have your YouTube channel, which is just your name as well, right?
That's right. They just Google me, Amir Rosick, and my pretty mug will pop up everywhere.
Well, we'll have to keep in touch with you. We'll have to have you back on the show. You're doing some great work.
Okay. Well, thank you, Annie. Thank you, Pam. You guys have a great day.
Nice meeting you. I'm going to spell Amir's name because we often get questions. How do you spell that guy's name? Amir, A-M-E-E-R, and last name R-O-S-I-C. Now, we're going to keep Pam on a few minutes because we have several major health stories. We just had a big protest, which I got stopped in the middle of in front of Ed Holder's office about GMOs. We have the study this morning that 30 is the new 45. We have another couple of fiascos relating to prescription drugs. And we're going to keep open lines this morning, 643-1290. Your thoughts on any of these subjects when we come back in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Don't be offended because some people say, Andy, you just stand there and you're a big cheerleader for Pam Killeen and you don't give those of us who argue with her theory a chance to argue with her. So, folks, here it is. The lines are open, 643-1290. I want your theory on why we have this report out this morning that 30 is the new 45, that we're going backwards with respect to our health. Why is that, folks? And I'd especially love to hear from a vegetarian. Okay, come on. Let's work up the nerve. Or even a vegan. 643-1290. Don't be shy. Don't be shy now. Love to hear from you. Pam, you were at a conference on the weekend. You saw a lot of vegetarians, and how did you describe them? I wrote it down. Pale and pasty.
Pale, pasty, and dry, brittle hair. I mean, they didn't necessarily come up to me and know who I was, so some of them came up to me and said that they wanted to work with me because they were depressed or fatigued and had insomnia. And then I said, well, if they're going to work with me, they have to eat red meat. And of course, they run away and hide, you know. They think that not eating red meat is healthy, and of course, nothing could be further from the truth.
You've gone to the dark side if you eat red meat, if you're a vegetarian or vegan.
Well, most of my clients are recovering vegetarians. They saw the light. They realized that having eaten that diet for 10, 20, 30 years, whatever the case may be, that that's indeed what made them sick. So when they start eating red meat, when they start eating more animal fat in their diet, that's when they start to feel better. And yes, there can be some digestive distress. I'm doing my digestion series right now because when people return to their ancestral diet, their digestion is so weak that it can take some time before you can re-educate your digestion to turn back on again.
Okay, I dare you, folks. I want to hear from a vegetarian, 643-1290. Want to hear from you. Tell me that Pam Killeen isn't getting enough air. That's what I'd love to hear this morning. We love confrontation. We love conflict. We love a good discussion. Let's go to Peter. Peter, are you a red meat guy or are you a rutabaga guy?
Well, I hate rutabaga, but I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for the past 34 years.
Perfect. Go ahead and talk to Pam about her theory as opposed to yours. Peter?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to get into a confrontation. I'm just telling you my own personal story. I'm 55. I feel like I'm 35. And I don't have bristle hair, and I don't have fair complexion. Actually, I don't have any hair at all. I just spoke that to your colleague. I'm bald, but that's got nothing to do with it. And I'm quite olive-skinned, and I feel great. I exercise daily. I eat my veg, and I take my vitamin D. I don't know. I'm okay.
When vegetarians come to me, they're usually having low libido, they have insomnia, they have poor sleep quality. In many cases, there's fertility issues as well, lowered sperm count. So a lot of these symptoms people don't necessarily associate with being a vegetarian. Brain fog is another very common issue. But if somebody comes from a background where they have lacto-ovo-vegetarianism and they are eating lots and lots of high-quality raw dairy products and pasture-raised eggs, there is a small chance that there's a chance to be healthy and have a complete picture here where they're running on all eight cylinders, and even libido and even sperm fertility, things like that, are not adversely affected.
Peter,
but it's so small a chance.
Peter, what do you see around you? We have this report from CBS News this morning. I don't know if you caught it, that 30 is the new 45, that people who are 30 years old today, the average North American, actually has the health of a 45-year-old, that we're going backwards.
That's sad, Andy, but I can only speak for myself. Like I said, I'm 55. I feel like I'm 35, seriously. I exercise daily. Like, I do my half hour, and I do a swimming 3 times a week. Like I said, I take a lot of vitamin D. I've been a vegetarian for 36 years almost now. And, you know, my libido is fine, and I go to bed at 11:30 or so. I've had no complaints from my opposite sex folks, so I think I'm okay.
Everybody's happy in the day and at night. Well, Peter, absolutely. When's the last time?
Better than that.
When's the last time you had a Big Mac?
Oh, my God. I don't think I ever had a Big Mac, Andy.
Okay. You don't go to Harvey's?
No. But I mean, you know, I don't condone it or anything. It's just my style of living.
You don't hang out at Union Burger?
No, not really. It's just my own thing. Just the crackling sound of cooking meat and just.
And your parents, were they vegetarian?
Yes, they were.
And your grandparents?
My grandmother was. My grandfather came from Libya because he was stationed there during the war. He was half meat eater.
Your parents, are they still with us?
Yes, they are.
How old are they?
My mom is 89. My father's 93.
There we go. Peter, great call. Appreciate it. Okay, there you go, Pam.
But
this is
where my clients are usually not from anything to do with vegetarianism. They don't have any ancestors that were vegetarian. There's some cultures out there where they have adapted, but they're few and far between, where they have been vegetarian. And the only way to know whether or not a diet is healthy is to look multi-generationally. So when I have people who are vegetarian and come from a vegetarian culture, I can't tell you, Andy, how sick they are, because they're eating inferior qualities of dairy, inferior qualities of egg, or they're not eating enough dairy and egg in their diet. It is possible, but it is so incredibly slight. This man is probably eating a higher quality dairy, higher quality egg, and he's probably eating enough, but he learned it from his ancestors, and he's adapted accordingly to it. But the only real way to know whether the nutritional advice that you're hearing is correct for you is to ask these 5 questions. Are the couples fertile? Are babies healthy? Do you see signs of chronic disease and mental disorders in society? Do you see that the aging are aging gracefully, and are senior citizens still productive members of society?
Okay, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I was stopped in a protest a couple of days ago by the GMO crowd in front of Ed Holder's office. There were 40-some protests like that across the country. Want to ask you about GMOs. And folks, you as well. The mainstream media, I think, pretty much ignored the protests. I saw one report on CTV. That's about all I've seen or read about these particular protests. Are you getting the honest message? What are your thoughts about GMOs? And regardless of your feelings, what about the fact you can't even find the labels for
Andy, if GMOs are so good, right? If they're so good, they should be labeled. They should be patting themselves on the back and saying, we have such a great product. It's labeled. Buy it, folks. But they don't do that.
No GMO section at Loblaws?
Yeah, like, again, if it's that good a product, then label it and be proud of it.
We'll be back with in just a moment with Pam on a number of the birth control fiasco, the diluted chemotherapy disaster with chemotherapy treatments at our local hospital, and so much more. When we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, we have several topics we want to cover in this last few minutes with our... when people ask you what you call yourself, what do you call yourself? A nutritional consultant?
I'm a nutritional consultant, educator,
author,
contrarian.
And, I was going to ask you about the bird flu scare.
Oh, my goodness, Andy. Another bird flu hoax. They're trying to push it in the media right now. Everybody needs to be prepared. The sky is falling, right?
There have been a number of people who have died in China, apparently, of this latest.
I think it's 33, Andy. Yeah. Okay. If you look very closely, they've probably had close contact with very sick chickens from the factory farms. When we wrote the book back in 2006, that was a common thread that we saw. Another thing is that you have very poor hygiene in a lot of these countries where the people are dying from infectious diseases. I think that the media would be far better served to report on how many people are dying from unclean water. Now we could get somewhere, Andy. Now we could help people if we could just identify the clean water issue and come up with viable solutions to clean up water in developing countries.
Okay, the GMO protest here in London a couple of days ago outside of Ed Holder's office. 40 such protests. Just summarize what their pitch is.
Well, essentially, this was a protest that actually was stemmed from the farmers who are very concerned about contamination if this GM alfalfa hits the marketplace. They don't want the contamination of this GM alfalfa from Monsanto to adversely influence their crops. And we've seen here in Canada a very big example of what can happen when a neighboring farm can be contaminated by genetically engineered canola. This happened to Percy Schmeichel, an innocent bystander, essentially, where his crop was contaminated by genetically engineered canola. And unfortunately, essentially, it put him pretty much out of business in the sense that he had to spend years in the courts going as high as the Supreme Court of Canada to fight the fact that it was his crop that was contaminated by Monsanto. He was a passive participant in this. Monsanto came after him because they wanted to, as Percy told me, they were probably using his case as a test case to see what could happen if they could bully somebody in the court system. And then secondarily, Percy had a very, very unique strain of canola that he had been developing for 40 years. And the word was that Monsanto wanted that particular strain or type of canola, that they could actually copy that strain of canola, very sturdy strain of canola, and sort of keep it for themselves.
And this is what intrigued me about this whole protest is the farmers.
If this gene gets into their crops, then they could have the same consequence that happened to Percy Schmeiser. The wind blows, the gene ends up in their crops. Now Monsanto can go in and say, it's theft. You've stolen our gene. I mean, it's completely nonsensical how this happens, but that's how Monsanto can take over the seed industry, is through this contamination issue.
Two drug stories in the short amount of time that we have left. This city and this province has been rocked by this chemotherapy scare. You would call it a scare. Diluted chemotherapy drugs in our hospitals, and it's not discovered for a whole year. Mm-hmm. Who's watching? Who's minding the store?
Well, we've seen this time and time again, Andy. This issue where there's no real monitoring of drugs out there once they're out in the marketplace. We've had Alan Castles on the show. We had Dr. David Healy on the show. They put these drugs out on the marketplace, and where is the oversight? This is unfortunately causing a lot of adverse effects. Last week, Will Winter said it correctly. I mean, if you just want to avoid these kinds of scandals, then just don't get sick in the first place.
The birth control horror story. Another, I just felt for a lot of these women who were taking the birth control pill, and suddenly they find out that there's a problem. It's made at a factory in Spain. They've been putting too many placebos into these drugs, and the drugs, quite frankly, in some cases, are ineffective.
Mm-hmm. Again, how does the patient... how can they be discerning? How can they protect themselves when all of this shoddiness is going on in the background? You know, you have to be more prepared. You have to almost play on the defensive there in terms of protecting your health. You have to assume that there's going to be some sort of mix-up and do what you have to do to educate yourself.
And I'm wondering where Health Canada's role in all of this. I'm reading from the Toronto Star. Birth control error sparks fear, anger. Health Canada waited 5 days before ordering retailers to notify patients.
Mm-hmm. Again, where is the accountability? One of your callers last week was very clear about that. There's no accountability. People aren't getting fired. Nobody's going to jail. I mean, it's like the Wall Street criminals. These people are untouchable.
It's incredible to me because this morning we have this major recall in the automotive world. I mean, major for imported cars from Japan about an airbag problem. And boom, it's saturation coverage in the media. Here is a matter of life and death. I mean, babies are going to be born because of this, in many cases unwanted babies. Mm-hmm. And we don't find, Health Canada doesn't blow the whistle for 5 days.
It's craziness how this is all happening. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, as we've seen. Look at what happened to David Carmichael when he took Paxil. He became delusional and killed his 11-year-old son. This was a man who was a loving father, a loving husband, and once he started taking Paxil, he became delusional to the point of killing his son and thinking he was doing him a favor.
John, you have a question for Pam?
Yes.
Go for it.
I just wonder if all our frozen foods that we have today with MSG and other salt and sugars and all this in is good for the consumer now?
I think the answer to that question lies in the solution, actually, because we could go on forever talking about all of the preservatives, the additives, and so on that go into the processed foods. What people are doing today, they're getting smarter, first of all, and they're realizing that if they buy their food from a local farmer where it's a whole food and then they prepare the food themselves, then this is how they can prevent consuming things like MSG, aspartame, food dyes, and so on.
John, we have to leave it there because we're almost out of time. So, Pam, again, we started off the show with that report from CBS News this morning that 30 is the new 45, that people who are 30 years old today, I mean, what a dramatic statement about how our healthcare system today is an absolute failure.
And I taught my class last night on digestion. It was part one. Next week, I'm teaching part two. And I said to the students, I said, listen, I think people are smart. I think when you give them the correct information, they will know what to do. And I think, unfortunately, today, they're listening to too many experts who really only have a tiny, tiny tale to tell. And as the expression goes, a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. And that happens in the world of nutrition and health all the time.
Pam Killeen, always a pleasure. And, folks.
And next week as well, I'm teaching at the People's Church on Tuesday night, April 16th. I'm teaching my class on adrenal burnout at 7 p.m.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah. So I have it posted on my website, pamkillen.com, at my upcoming events page.
11 o'clock news coming up in just a moment. On the other side of the news, we're going to